And now a word with the King. Eternal Father, as we open thy word this worship hour, our hearts and minds are open to thee as the thirsty ground is open to the showers that come so lightly and life. Bless and direct our thoughts through thy word to him whom to know is life eternal. We ask through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The things that are written before are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. We should therefore learn as we study the Bible to set up in our minds as clearly as we are able the biblical models, the episode, the act, and the actors. And then, having settled in our minds as clearly as we are able what the Bible is depicting, we take the philosophy and the truth and the teaching and we apply them to our own lives. There are some 500 stories in the Bible. If I have made a mistake, would you please count them out and call me on the phone and correct me? I'd like to have it precisely down pat, but that's as close as I've been able to come. Each of those narratives is a scene and a setting with characters all of its own. Sometimes the characters go into other acts and other scenes. But each of those 500 stories depict life situations that are perpetual. All we've got to do is to change the characters' name. Instead of Ahab, we can put in some equivalent today. Instead of Naboth's vineyard, we can put in some equivalent today. John Doe's yacht, or his mountain cabin, or his ski resort, or his automobile, or anything that anyone ever covets. And all the machinations that go to bring about the satisfaction of an unholy desire. I'd like you to find today the book of 2 Chronicles, and we will see a character move through certain episodes. Everything about any man is never put. Certain items are selected. No, with Jesus Christ, he goes in three dozens. There are 3 dozen or so parables, 3 dozen miracles, and 3 dozen persons whom he encountered. That's all. Now, if I've made any mistake there, would you please correct me? Go read in the New Testament, count up. You'll be surprised what you get by osmosis just by reading. So I challenge you to go and read. And if you want to read some Friday night or some anytime you want the red printings in a red Bible, you know, the exact words of Jesus Christ, perhaps you'd like to count those out. They're not many words. Very few words. And in that condensed form, the total plan of salvation is revealed. Now, in the 17th chapter of 2 Chronicles, a man by the name of Jehoshaphat is brought to our attention. He was a good man. In fact, he was an exceptionally good man. Verse 3, the Lord was with him. He walked in the first ways of his ancestor David. Verse 4, he sought the Lord God of his fathers. He walked in his commandments. Verse 5, therefore the Lord established his kingdom. Here is Jehoshaphat. He comes to the throne at a mature age. His father had ruled for about 39 years, and he was about 35 years of age when he began to reign. 41 years, I should correct Asa too. That's chapter 18, verse 13. And Jehoshaphat, his son, reigned in Asa's place. Now Asa was quite a good king too. It's rather the exception in the story of the kings to find two good kings, one after the other. But here, for a period of three quarters of a century, Judah was ruled by two godly men, father and son. Verse 6 of 17. Jehoshaphat's heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. Now what did he do first? He organized national evangelistic meetings. Verse 7. He sent, at the end of verse 7, to teach in the cities of Judah. And with them he sent Levites. And at the end of verse 8, priests. In verse 9, they taught and had the book of the law of the Lord with them, and went about through all the cities of Judah and taught the people. He is the first and only king who organized national evangelistic meetings. And the fear of the Lord came upon all the nations. In verse 12, Jehoshaphat waxed exceeding great. Now, I don't know what his motives were, but I think he had motives that are manifest today. I was talking to somebody yesterday, as a matter of fact, not an Adventist. I was talking to him about 2 months before, and he was telling me about his son, brought up in a Christian home, not Adventist, church every Sunday, Sunday school, worship in the home, prayer and reading every day. And this boy chose not to do what was right. See, nobody drifts into anything, he chooses. As Ellen White says in Steps to Christ, we all should be taught the right use of the will. And as his father said, this fellow chose to be a no-good bum. Drugs, sex, liquor, the whole works. And yesterday he remarked that he was very glad that his son didn't get tied up with one of his neighbor's daughters. Good, sweet girl, he says she was. She thought she could reform my son. Now there are well-meaning people who think that by social contact they can reform no good bums. Mostly the bums change them. Nobody ought ever to marry anyone for the purpose of reforming him. Never works. And Jehoshaphat allowed, this was the unfortunate, his child to marry the child of Ahab and Jezebel. To reform them? Waste of time. Always ruin. When the marriage partner contemplated comes into line, and you observe. I think you should observe for at least a year. See whether he can play a hypocrite for a year. Then maybe run the risk of getting married. I was talking to somebody 2 weeks ago, discussing her husband. All she says her husband got baptized for was to marry her. He got baptized and they got married, and 2 weeks later he never went to church again. But Jehoshaphat made a mistake. The main mistake that Jehoshaphat made, he made several, but this was one. He allowed his child to marry out of the faith in the hope, possibly, of reforming the other party. And this led him into a social contact with Ahab. And Ahab said, I would like you to fight Syria. And Jehoshaphat said to Ahab in chapter 20, and asked for a prophet of the Lord. I beg your pardon, it's chapter 18. 2 Chronicles chapter 18, verse 6. Is there not a prophet of the Lord? And a prophet by the name of Micaiah came into the council meeting and gave advice. Jehoshaphat did not follow the advice. He went to war on the side of Ahab and nearly lost his life. But fortunately, he learned his lesson. I'm not going to enter into that chapter in detail, but would suggest you turn to chapter 19 and verse 1. And Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned to his house in peace. God got him through this trouble. His wrong marriage of his son and the wrong affiliation with Ahab. And verse 2, Jehu, the seer, went out to meet King Jehoshaphat and said to him, shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Now we get all kinds of foolish sentimentality. We talk in this liberal age of not entering into value judgments. We've got to enter into value judgments, my friend, every day and every hour of every day. There are things that are right and there are things that are wrong. And there are some people educate themselves to be stupid not to see the difference between right and wrong. Bring these judgments to the Word of God. Calibrate them by the measures of the Word of God. And allow the Spirit to give us clear-cut views. Shouldest thou, Jehu says, help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord. Nevertheless, there are good things in thee, in that thou hast taken away the groves and prepared thy heart to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat dwelt at Jerusalem. And he went out again among the people. Now he went out himself now. And brought them back unto the Lord God of their fathers. He was a missionary-minded person. He sent others out. He paid for them to go, priests and Levites, and he went himself. And in Patriarchs and Prophets, we are told that he was the first king to set up in Jerusalem a judiciary, a courts of appeal. Verse 5, judges. And he said to the judges, take heed what you do, that he judge not for man, but for the Lord, who is with you. Let the fear of the Lord be upon you. And in Jerusalem he set out Levites, who were the court of appeal. He learned his lesson. There was got to be justice, there's got to be equity, there's got to be evangelism, change. And when people are ready to accept the Lord, then come into alliance with them. Now, having done this, two prophets have come to him, Micaiah and Jehu. Two testimonies. One he did not heed, the other he heeded. Chapter 20, verse 1. It came to pass after this. You know, you should read in your Bible, take your concordance and read, and after this. And ask yourself, what went before and what went after? And you will find that every time a phrase like that is found in the Bible, God has given a man or a woman or a child time to prepare before the crisis breaks. It was not until this had taken place that what came after it was allowed to come. Moab and Ammon and the Ammonites came to battle. And Jehoshaphat was scared, verse 3, and set himself to seek the Lord. And we can read in the next 10 or 20 verses a beautiful prayer from Jehoshaphat. For example, verse 11, behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? We have no might against this company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee, O Lord. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives and their children. A magnificent prayer, which we could think of with great profit and study with great benefit. Now notice verse 14. Then upon Yahaziel, this is the third prophet in the life of Jehoshaphat, the son of Zechariah, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. Right where they were there, he was given the vision. Now notice these prophets, Micaiah, Jehu, Jahaziel, each with his specific testimony, each with his peculiar emphasis, coming to Jehoshaphat. Now you say to yourself, Jehoshaphat was a good king. He was a good king because he heeded the messages that the prophets came to him. Now Jahaziel said, hearken, all Judah, and thou King Jehoshaphat. Be not afraid, the Lord says, nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude. The battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go down, when they come up by the cliff's Ziph. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. Verse 18, Jehoshaphat bowed his head. And they rose up, verse 20, early in the morning. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hearken, O Judah, believe the Lord your God, and he shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. What are they going to do? And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers that they should go before the army, saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Edomites, Ammonites, Moabites, all of them in their thousands, ready to slaughter. the army is preceded by a choir. You know, people accuse the Bible of being full of wars. The God of the Old Testament is a God of wars. Before you agree to stupidity like that, why don't you go sometime and read in the Bible and make a list of all the battles? They're not many. And then mark a red underlining of the battles that the Lord told Israel to get into. And then by the side of the column, mark the number of casualties that Israel suffered when they entered into wars that God commanded. Now I admit they got into some scrapes and battles that God never commanded and lost thousands. But you make a list of the wars that God commanded them to go into. He told them to take Jericho. Walk around it, don't say a word. I think it was the hardest thing for Israel not to say a word. I don't think the Seventh-day Adventist congregation could have done that. They couldn't have walked around this auditorium without saying a word. Amen. Let alone go around Jericho 7 times and not say a word. But when they did that, the walls fell down. He told Gideon, now you take care of the Midianites. Now Gideon had 300 soldiers and they had to do a real conjuring act. They had to hold a trumpet in their right hand and toot a toot in the middle of the night. That was number one. In their left hand, they had to have a torch. And over the torch, they had to have a big earthenware pot hiding it, balancing it all in their left hand while they were tooting. That's all they had to do. They never had one casualty, not one. Now this battle, the Lord says, go into it, let the choir lead. And when they came singing, the army got so scared of the Ammonites and the Moabites and the Edomites that they killed one another. They didn't have to fight. End of verse 23, every man helped to destroy another. And when Judah came, the valley was full of dead bodies. None escaped. Another occasion, the Lord used hornets. Whenever you take a trip to Chester, in England, you'll find the coat of arms of the hive of bees. About 1,000 years ago, Chester was almost taken. The breaching ladders were up on the walls and the invading army was about to come in. They had shot every stone, every arrow, everything that they could think of. And somebody suggested, in those days there was no cane sugar. Everyone had a hive of bees of his own that he could. Let's take our bees and throw them over, see what they could do. And these men with iron armor climbing up the wall suddenly got 10 bees inside their armor trying to get out. And they got interested in something else. They wanted to scamper off into the woods and take their armor off. And Chester was saved. And so in the coat of arms was a hive of bees. And the Lord used hornets. Now when a bee stings, it commits suicide. But when a hornet stings, it gets up, backs off, and starts again. Over and over again, the Lord knew what he was doing. A hornet's much more effective than a bee. And I can see those Midianites taking off jet-propelled. Not a casualty in the Lord's army. Not one. And he allowed them to collect all the booty they needed. And they came back, verse 28, to Jerusalem with psalteries, harps and trumpets unto the house of the Lord, and the fear of God was on the kingdom of those countries when they heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. The next verse, God gave him rest roundabout. And Jehoshaphat reigned over Judah. Now hold your finger here and turn to Kings. First Kings. 1 Kings, the last chapter, chapter 22, and verse 48. And Jehoshaphat made ships of Tarshish to go to Ophir for gold. Now let's get back to 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. Verse 35. After this did Jehoshaphat king of Judah join himself to Ahaziah king of Israel, who did very wickedly. And Jehoshaphat joined himself with him to make ships to go to Tarshish. And they made the ships at Ezion-Geba. And Eleazar prophesied against Jehoshaphat. This is the fourth prophet. He prophesied against Jehoshaphat, saying, because thou hast joined thyself with, the Lord hath broken thy works. Now Jehoshaphat's besetting sin was socializing with sinners. He's a good man, good evangelist, feared the Lord, did what was right. But he would make affinity with those who were not worshippers of God. And four prophets worked with Jehoshaphat. Jehu, Jahaziel, Eleazar, and Micaiah. Now Micaiah is a story all on its own, but I want to think of these three particular men. Jehu, Jahaziel, and Eleazar. Now let's repeat, underline what they said. Chapter 19, verse 2. Wrath is upon thee because thou hast helped the ungodly. Now notice Eleazar. Jehoshaphat makes an affiliation with the ungodly again, right at the end of his life. And Eleazar prophesied against him and said, because thou hast joined thyself with Ahaziah. And in between comes Jahaziel. And his message was, be not afraid by reason of this great multitude, the battle is not yours. Believe his prophets and he shall prosper. Now the Lord repeats testimonies. Jehu's testimony was repeated by Eleazar. The Lord comes back and back and back. Now this week we're going to study Ellen White. Now, as a prophet, she is unique. Her ministry covered 70 years. She has written millions upon millions of words, the equivalent of 200 books of 300 pages each. She covers every kind of topic. And she has declared that her ministry, which began with the birth of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, will sustain them right to the end. My testimonies will speak to the end. And the reason is, sometimes we need to learn the same lesson. However good Jehoshaphat was, one of the best kings, one lesson was hard for him to learn. And so the testimony of the prophet came to him, touched him, moved to him, appealed to him. So as we take the Bible, as we take the writings of the Spirit of Prophecy, we will discover that they will touch us on spots of need, on areas where we will need to appropriate the Spirit of God to break off by righteousness those evil tendencies and traits that are ours. As we are given these insights, let us apply the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Eternal Father, we thank thee for thy word. We thank thee for the patience that thou dost show to us, as thou didst show in days gone by. We thank thee that thou dost send the testimony of thy prophet again and again to warn, to encourage, to reprove, to give insight. Bless us as we choose to relate ourselves to thy will and thy word, so so thy plan for us might be fulfilled. We ask through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Cassette Ministries presentation. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright American Cassette Ministries, all rights reserved. To order CDs or audio cassettes of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 1-800-233-4450. International calls, please dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americancassette.org. There you will discover the largest selection of genuine Adventist preaching available. American Cassette Ministries is not a one-man band. It's an orchestra of outstanding speakers who are all on the same theological page. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Cassette Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? Our email address is info@americancassette.org. We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and financial support are important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. Peace, coming soon.